What you're hearing in the pulpits today, anytime the scripture talks about seeking the Lord, they're talking about people in covenant relationship who know how to seek the Lord. Mm-hmm. Lost people are dead in trespasses and sin. Many times, and I want to emphasize this, but many times we need to understand that no preacher is without sin. That we are all just sinners saved by grace. And I say that so that you can understand that if I say some things that you disagree with, and I wish I would have known this early in my ministry. Mm-hmm. Where I tell me, if I say something you don't understand or you disagree, tell me, come over to the house and put the coffee pot on and talk about it.
Yeah.
And instead, it just drives people away and people who know that. And everybody has their own particular view on a lot of things. Turn to the third chapter of the Gospel of John. I'm going to preach on something tonight. And I said I'd pinch hit because this is something that's been on my mind this whole week. I don't know why, but now I know why. It seems like this is the time for it. And I want to read a little story by here about this fellow named Nicodemus. And as I read it, try to retain in your mind, if you can, some of the things that are said about him. And try to remember this because I'll be making reference a lot of times and I won't quote the scripture. I'll just make a statement regarding it. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, singular, except a man, singular, be born again, he, singular, cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, Well, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time in his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, singular, except a man, singular, be born of water and of the Spirit, he, singular, cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, singular, ye. No longer singular, now we're talking about Israel. Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Born of the Spirit. Nicodemus actually said, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said to him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I've told you earthly things, you believe not, how shall you believe, if I tell you of heavenly things? Now, we hear quite a bit of talk today, not much, but some, of the new earth. I'd like to talk to you for a little while on this subject, and the first thing I would like to mention to you is I'd like to tell you and explain to you some of the things that the new birth is not.
Mm-hmm.
Is not. There are some things that the new birth is not. Now, for instance, it's not religion. Nicodemus said that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not civilization. We live in a civil country. It's not that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not education, and it's not culture.
Right.
Nicodemus had that. It's not good morals. Nicodemus, ruler of Israel, he had that.
Mm-hmm.
It is not accepting Jesus as a great teacher.
He did that.
He said, we know, even though he was God, he said, we know you're sent from God. No man can do these things except God. He was, in other words, God with you, but we're not sure that you are God. It's not accepting Jesus as a miracle worker. Many people believed and followed him because of the miracles that he did, and there's no doubt in my mind that a lot of them, no doubt maybe, were saved, and no doubt many followed him just to get their bellies full, mm-hmm. or get some healing or something like that, and maybe we end up lost and going to hell. I don't know about that. That's in God's hands. It's not being a member of the church. Nicodemus brought the synagogue. Mm-hmm. So there's no doubt in my mind about that. It's not being a member of the best society in the neighborhood. Nicodemus had that because a lot of people tell you what clubs they belong to. I belong to this club and I belong to this and whatever. That's not it. It's not accepting a ceremonial ordinance.
Right.
Because you know yourself, if you've read anything at all in the Old Testament, you know there's a lot of ordinances. But those ordinances did not say they were, as they were used in the Old Testament, were evidences of what had already taken place in their lives.
Right.
Yeah. It's not holding out faithful to the end. You have to have something before you hold on to it.
Right.
It's not doing the best you can. There's no doubt in my mind, Nicodemus was doing the best he could. It's not praying. Pharisees prayed. Stood on the corner. Where men could see him, they prayed. It's not praying. The biggest problem that people have with the new birth, being born again, is they do not understand and do not recognize that dead men walk. Mm-hmm. The first time I heard that phrase, Dr. John F. Carter, Greek teacher and fellow teachers I had when I was in third grade, and when he said that, I questioned him. He said, they're dead spiritually, mm-hmm. but they walk around physically.
Right.
Dead men walk. So, it's not praying. First church I pastored, I've never been exposed to this, to be honest with you. I pastored in Lee County, Virginia, which is just across the mountain from Harlan County, Kentucky, or just next to Tennessee. But the people back then in those places, they believed in having what they called a mourner's bench. Mm-hmm. In other words, I said, well, what is a mourner's bench? He said, well, sinners can come up here and pray. I said, sinners can't pray. How can sinners pray? Prayer is a petition to God as Father, led by the Holy Spirit in the light of the teaching of God's Word in the name of Jesus Christ. I said, where does he fit? Right. He doesn't fit. None of those categories.
No.
And it all boils down to one thing. A man must become lost before he's found. He must be shown from the Scriptures. And I can't do it, and you can't do it. We can preach the gospel, but the Lord Jesus Christ has taught us, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the one who breathes upon men who are slain and brings them to life. And in regeneration, you have the new nature of Christ put inside of you alongside of your own nature. Paul said, well, I would do good evil with me. Oh, Paul, you said that? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's what he said. I can remember one time we were working on the railroad and we were in a place where it was closed in and everybody was in the cab with the engine waiting for a signal to come out. And many times I think they just did this to try to define find fault with me, but they would invariably somebody would start talking in such a way and bring up a question, get a subject of religion started. And one time this one fellow, he just let me know right now, he did not believe that you, as a child of God, that you could sin and still be saved. And we just different things came up, but this one time I was trying to explain. And by the way, you can't teach goats God's word.
Right.
Now you can witness to them. And so they came up and they started talking about this, and somehow or another two natures came up and we were discussing. I said, I'm gonna tell you, I said, in the new birth, when the new nature of the Lord Jesus Christ is placed upon the Son, when the Holy Spirit resurrects you and sends it and regenerates you, I said, that's the only thing that will ever lead you to repentance. You will always love sin.
That's right.
But when that new nature is given to you, and you start cleaning up your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
I have problems with that. You clean up your life. You clean up, you start associating with a different type of people.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is very plain. And so this one, we had this discussion, and going back and forth, and finally this engineer got quiet and said, I was talking about how the two fought against each other. You know, Sunday morning you get sick, you know. Now Monday morning, you're sick, but you're going to go to work. But Sunday morning you get sick, and you're like, you know. And I said, it's a struggle. You have to overcome this. This engineer said, I never did have that trouble. I said, it takes two to make an argument.
Right. That's right.
It takes two. So then, the question then arises then, if this is all these things that I've mentioned, I'm sure there are others, that are not the new birth, what is the new birth? What is it? Well, in 1 Peter 3, third verse. Before I say that, this is sort of a little parenthesis type thing. I hate to be such a critic. But I was attending a service of some kind, and this fellow says he's going to read from 1 Peter chapter 1. I thought, oh boy, he's going to talk about election. Because verse 2 talked about election. But he very conveniently started verse 3.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively or a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It does not make any difference to me what you believe, or what grace is bestowed, how it manifests itself in your life, or whatever. It always comes down to one thing. The Lord Jesus Christ died and was buried, and God raised him from the dead. And
Amen.
Every time we assemble on the first day of the week, we assemble in commemoration of the resurrection of Christ.
Amen.
I am not an Easter bunny.
No.
I know the word Easter is in there one time. John would tell you it's in the Greek, the word really is Passover. But why have one day out of the year to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, when actually the celebration of the resurrection of Christ should manifest itself in the lives of God's people and his churches 24 hours a day?
Amen.
Anywhere you go.
That's right.
You're given evidence.
Amen.
Of the fact that Jesus lives. He overcame death. And he lives. And that's what the scripture here says. And I always like it's an abundant mercy. God never does things in a stingy way.
Amen.
Never. He just doesn't do things that way. Now, if you go back up just a minute while you're there, back up to James. First chapter. Verse 18. And again, this is the language of the scripture. And we say that God be true and every man a liar. I watch it once in a while. I was cautioned by the pastor sure I got done by 8 o'clock. So, that's the first time you wonder if it cautioned me to put time.
You're just kidding with me.
Yeah. So in verse 18 of James, the first chapter, it tells us there of his own will. He begat us. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth.
Amen.
One of the things that I can't remember his name, but one of the first foreign missionaries sent from America back in the 1700 something to Africa as a foreign missionary. And I read his testimony, how he was only, I think it was 7 years before he had a profession of faith. And in his statement he said, no matter what village you went into, whether it was a village of 15 or 20, or it was 50 or 100, so every village, no matter where you went in Africa, they may not have had schools, they may not have had doctors, but he said every one of them had some form of a religious worship. It may be a tree, maybe a rock, maybe a river, maybe something else.
Mm-hmm.
Man by nature
right.
is religious.
That's right.
He's religious by nature. He began us with the word of truth.
Amen.
It's a divine act.
Mm-hmm.
My own personal experience, and I've probably told you this before, but my own personal experience was I just would go to church. Bernice and I were courting. Normally I could get to court and we went to church. So we went to church. And she'll tell you that I whispered and she and I tried to whisper and talk to her, you know, the preacher's preaching, you know, I went to church for her. My mom and dad went to church, but when I stayed home, took care of the kids. They got babysat. But it was just one of those things where God was put me in a place where I thought, like me, that what I do will be all right. It will please God. I can do something. I can say something. They told me, two fellows were talking about a woman in Cincinnati, and I was just listening. She gave at her death $6 million to some Catholic organization. This one fellow said, I'll tell you what, there's a special place in heaven for her. I said, what?
Right.
Special place for her in heaven. I said, you mean poor people don't have a chance? I said, you can't buy your way into heaven. And they both.
Okay.
You know, what kind of character is this? It's by grace.
Amen.
It's not of works. Paul says, though I give my body to be burned. English teaches us very plainly. Jesus said, ye must be born again, born from above, born anew.
Mm-hmm.
And the language of it, the English, if you must be born, you can't do it yourself.
Right.
I think one of the things that would help us in the pulpits today and Baptist churches today, if they would preach it, you can't do it.
Right.
God has to do it. Salvation is God doing something for the sinner that the sinner can't do for himself.
That's right.
That no flesh should glory in his presence.
Amen.
Not only yourself. One other thing. I believe it is a divine act.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it's a radical change.
That's right.
In witnessing to the truth, sometimes you have peculiar experiences. With a fellow who is a retired teacher from Princeton High School, and the reason that we were discussing it and talking back and forth was he said something one day. He didn't look like he was, you know, highly elevated, you know, above everybody else because of it. And he was talking about, someone said, well, where do you, well, I've read down in Kentucky. I said, well, time out. Whereabouts in Kentucky? Well, if we, where at? What a little place you know, where at? Well, a little place too you've never heard of. I said, well, tell me where. He told me. I said, oh, is that right? Well, I preached for 2 weeks in that church right there in that heart. Oh, no. I said, you tell me that I don't know where half of Kentucky is? You tell me that? He said, well, do you know? I said, yeah, and I told the church. He said, my mother played the piano there. I said, that was your mother that played the piano? Well, if his mother played the piano, I assumed that he went to church regularly. And I said, my, that's great. I said, but he said, I want to tell you something. I'm 99.4% atheist. He said, I know that offends you. I said, doesn't offend me? He said, what do you mean it doesn't offend you? I said, well, this is America. Do you believe what you want to believe?
That's right.
I said, if you're an atheist, you don't believe there's a God, you don't believe the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't believe the Bible, you don't believe that? That's all right with me. And he looked at me and said, you mean you don't care? I care. I would be glad to tell you, explain to you what I believe concerning the scriptures. But I said, no, this is America. If you want to believe that and go to hell, that's what you believe. The new birth is not a remodeling. It's not an overhauling. It's not a renovation. It's not reformation.
Mm-mm.
But it's a new creation.
Amen.
A new creation. And I'm going to be honest with you. A lot of times when it first happens, the people to whom it happens, they stop and think. It bothers them a little while. It may not be instantaneously as far as professing faith in Jesus Christ. They might have to listen to the preacher, or maybe talk to the preacher. I have some things that I don't understand this. And he can begin to help and explain some things. And when they begin to understand them, then you know that the Holy Spirit of God is doing it.
Right.
So here it is. Implanted by the Holy Spirit. I want to look at some scriptures, a few scriptures in 1 John. 1 John chapter 4. Verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. There it is. John told me this 2 years ago. He has a Quran. I don't have one. But he said, nowhere in the Quran does it ever say Allah is love. Well, now, I just took him at his word, and I tell people that. Now, if they prove him wrong, I'm going to have to come back and talk to him. But the Bible here is talking about the love of God. Look at the first verse of chapter 5. Whosoever believeth, I emphasize this, maybe it becomes boring to some of you, but I emphasize the tense of verbs. Whosoever believeth. I worked with a fellow one time and he was an engineer over in Cincinnati, and he said, said, well, I'm a Baptist. He said, he's a member of a church down in Somerset, Kentucky. I said, do you get down to her? Well, he said, do my work, I don't get down to her often. I said, do you keep in touch with him, your tithes and offerings? I done quit preaching on the mail.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's how you can keep in touch. If you move away somewhere and you can't get back, it's 300 or 400 miles, you can keep, send them a check. Send them a check. No, I'm praying for you. I'm trying to find a place up here where I can worship.
Mm-hmm.
Whosoever believeth, just keeps on believing, not temporarily, not just preach one time. I've had people say, well, yeah, I've been on Jesus one time. And I don't go to church, too many hypocrites said, well, I said it was a hypocrite in the first one.
Right.
Now I chose you 12, and one of you is Diabolos,
right,
the devil. Why was the New Testament written to these people? If they were all without sin, why were all these letters written?
Right.
Every church and every group, they had problems. And what they had, and any problem we have today is answered in this book.
Amen.
Here. He said, whosoever believes that Jesus is Christ, the Messiah, is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. Sure. Absolutely.
Amen.
Here in his love, he said in John 4:10, not that we love God, but he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins.
That's right.
Look in chapter 5 while we're there. Verse 18. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not.
Mm-hmm.
But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. Now, Lafayette all I says there, you sin not. I said, I want to tell you something, folks. Listen to me. The new nature I've got can't sin.
That's right.
It's the old man that sins. The nature of Christ cannot sin.
That's right.
And that's the reason why I'm saying here that this really is what it's all about.
Mm-hmm.
What it's all about. I absolutely just love the teaching of the scriptures. And they're hard on me. But in the third letter to the Galatians, that's what Peter wrote, 2 Peter, both of his epistles were written to the Galatians as well as Paul's. But in the first chapter, Second Peter 1:4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers or sharers of the divine nature,
mm-hmm,
having escaped the corruption is in the world through lust.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
See? And this is just something that people today, they don't understand it. I believe that the teaching of the scriptures to a person who's born again, I don't believe it's changed. I believe it's going to all the world to preach the gospel to every creature. Make disciples. Baptize them. Teach them all things whatsoever I command you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. You cannot claim 5 if you don't do the first 4.
Right.
They're in sequence.
That's right.
And that's what Baptist Church are doing today. That's what we're doing today. We're talking to, and we're preaching. And relying not upon what we say so much as what we read from God's Word.
Amen.
And depend on that God will use that for His honor, for His glory. So, many times, you sometimes ask a fellow, have you been born again? And they'll start telling you things that indicates very, very plainly that they don't know what you're talking about.
Right.
Not at all. But teach us some things that have been a blessing to me. I trust it'll be a blessing to you.
Amen. Thank you, Father.